This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we started in Quebec, Canada. Last week, you heard the reports each day from FISM Quebec 2022, and it was phenomenal. FISM always is great, and having it in North America just added another level of excitement, and a lot of people from the United States attended for their very first FISM, and as a result, they said will not be their last. They'll be continuing to attend these in the future, so I look forward to seeing a lot of my North American counterparts at FISM Italy in just 3 years. Anyhow, that's not what this report is about. This is about Abbott's get-together, and I believe this is the 84th annual get-together, and it will be, again, as always, in Colon, Michigan. And it seems like every once in a while we hear these rumblings that's like, oh, we're going to only have this for another year or two. Well, if that's the case, who's going to be taking it on from there? Well, who knows? If anybody, well, anyhow, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Speaking of bridges, that's kind of what we're doing now. I'm not talking to you from an airport right now. I was in Quebec, and then we made it to Newark, where we had a little layover before heading over to Detroit, Michigan, and then driving down from Detroit from there to Colon. But anyhow, spent a little bit of time then in Newark, had a little extended layover, as most travelers are nowadays, having to wait longer than normal in order to catch a flight due to, I think, just employee shortages and planes that have been, flights that have been canceled or delayed or whatever. And we certainly had our problems, but that's, took us to where we are currently, and that is on the road to Colon. And it's about 4:30 a.m. on Tuesday, August the 1st, 2nd, I think this is the 1st. This is the 2nd, gosh. Yeah, it's early. So I'm driving in early, and the reason I am is because it's time for the Open Colon. Let me rephrase that. It's time for the Colon Open Golf Tournament. And that should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. We always have a great time. About a couple dozen people who show up for this in Sturgis. Or actually, it's called the St. Joe Country Club or Golf Club. And that's put on and run by Al the Only, who is the one who puts together the cemetery tours. So looking forward to playing golf with some friends here shortly. And then the convention will doesn't begin for a while, but there are so many different activities and things that will be happening, and you'll be a part of that because you'll be getting to hear some daily reports as we get into Colon, Michigan for Abbott's 84th get-together. So, when I was at the airport in Newark, they didn't have any donuts there, but they did have just a buffet line, went to the United Club, and got to hang out there from the standpoint that they had a lot of food, plenty of whatever that we needed. But this morning, when we get to the golf club, I know they always have a good assortment of donuts with coffee. It's not Dunkin' Donuts, but I don't even think it's Tim Horton. But they are donuts, and that's what counts. Kind of opened my eyes here a little bit. As I said, it's now 4:33 here as we head south towards Colon. Well, thanks for coming along with me. I appreciate you guys tagging along and enjoying these podcasts. I've got a lot of feedback on everyone listening to the FISM, as I said, from last week, and I appreciate you guys letting me know and for helping me financially to support these podcasts and keep this going. So, appreciate it, and I will talk with you soon. Scotty out. All right, well, this is the beginning of the first day over here for activities at Abbott's 84th get-together. And last night we had David Seebach had a little party, a little get-together, and it was a lot of fun. Thank you, David. I got David here with me now.
Well, we enjoy doing it every year, my friends and I that stay at that house, and glad to see everybody.
A lot of people come into town early for this then, too. So it's a good time for us to get together. I mean, nothing else to do, but it's like, hey, have a party. So, thank you.
Always time for a party.
Always time for a party. And also with me is Lance Burton, because we did a special service at a Hey Lance.
Hey, Scott. Yeah, we always come. We're coming in a day early to go to David's party.
That's right. Just for that.
Yeah.
And it was, by the way, your van looks great. That you got your tour bus wrapped with purple, like a T-shirt you wore in there.
Right. Yeah. We got the Lance Burton purple on the tour bus and a big dove and. So when we hit the road, we can travel in style.
So what happened to the bus there today?
We were bringing the bus to the unveiling of the Gary Darwin Monument, but the right front suspension, the airbag, the air went out. And so we were bottoming out, and it was like, what's that noise? And we stopped, and it was like, oh, no.
That's not good.
So we think it's going to be a pretty easy fix.
Okay.
The same thing happened on the back a few months ago.
Well, I know you got Keith West with you, and he's had problems with his truck in the past. He may know how to do
things. Keith's a good man to have on the road. He's had a lot of experience with diesel trucks and engines and breakdowns, and he knows how to get things done, get things repaired quickly.
So this is great service that we had then today for Gary Darwin. Last year we did one that you hosted for Walter Zaney Blaney, and now you had the unveiling for Gary.
Yeah, and that was kind of what inspired me, that Gary Darwin should be here in Colon, Michigan, because it was such a wonderful ceremony last year for Walter, and the family asked me to speak, and I was happy to do so. And Walter's monument was beautiful, black granite, and it was cut in the shape of the Alamo. And so I started looking around the cemetery, thinking, you know what, I should bring Gary here, because all of his friends are here. Tom Soney's going to be here. Norm Nielsen's going to be here. Walter's here. And, of course, Harry Blackstone Sr. and Jr. here.
Right.
And Gary Darwin saw Harry Sr. when he was 8 years old, and that's what inspired Gary to get into magic. So I got the very last plot available in the Blackstone section, and I paced it off today. Gary is 20 paces
from Blackstone.
From his idol, Blackstone Sr.
And he's also in the shade, which is really nice there.
Yeah, it's under the shade of
one of the only trees in the cemetery.
Old tree. So it's a beautiful spot. So
a beautiful design for the Las Vegas sign.
I have to credit Bill Smith with the idea. He said, you know, we ought to make Gary's monument in the shape of the Welcome to Las Vegas sign.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a great idea. And Bill had somebody. We'll have to ask Bill. I forget the fella's name that designed it, but we worked with the designer, so we have Gary's name on it, and they kept sending me renderings, and I kept saying, no, name's got to be bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
Bigger, no, make the name bigger. This is Gary's marquee, and the photo, no, the photo's got to be bigger. I want them to see Gary.
Like,
and I picked the photo of a young Gary Darwin. Mm-hmm. He must have been in his early 30s, maybe at late 20s, early 30s, but it was the photo of Gary in his prime as a stage performer, and this is the era. Gary's most prestigious show was when he worked in the Lido de Paris at the Stardust Hotel. He was in that show for a couple of months, filling in for an act that had got injured or had surgery or something. So that was a very prestigious show to be in, and that was kind of the pinnacle of Gary's performing career.
Wow, and a good beginning then, too. Really, it was early in his career.
Yeah, he was young when he was there.
Well, there's so many interesting things about Gary, and the fact that he was a weightlifter and a wrestler, you know?
Yeah, he was a... Oh, who was the name of the fellow that
Bill Smith.
David Starr.
David Starr. Oh, yeah, because he's a good designer. Yeah.
So the buffet is about ready.
Okay, we're getting ready for the buffet. We're getting ready to eat over here. So anyhow, they're just now getting things prepared for this little luncheon. And so I'm going to sign off here for now, and we'll be having some more content for you from Colon, Michigan a little bit later. That was Lance Burton, and along with David Seabock, a little bit of Bill Smith. Oh, here we go. He's starting.
Gentlemen, I'm Bill Smith.
This is Scotty.
Welcome to the River Lake Inn.
Yeah.
here last year for Walter, and now we're here for Gary. Thanks all for coming. Gary's favorite beverage is certainly this. So whatever you're drinking, just hold up a, let's do a toast. Great man, Gary Darwin. And let's also thank our host for today, Lance Burton.
And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the first rule of show business. Never turn down a free meal. Buffet's open. Let's go.
As we're getting ready here for the rest of the day really to begin, I think the first activity of the day is a lecture by Dwayne Laughlin, and then later we shortly have a lecture by Bizarro, but still having a late lunch right now with Kevin James. Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Scott.
And so you were saying right when we were talking earlier that you're not touring with the Illusionists then right now.
Well, I still will.
Yeah, you will, but I mean...
Just not at the moment.
They have
one tour coming up in November and December, a North American tour, and I've decided to work on another project, so maybe next year.
And talk about other projects. That was something, too, I thought was fascinating about how that you've gotten discouraged from creating things because of rip-offs in other countries of selling your stuff for so cheap. It's like, well, why should I do it? So I just wanted to have your thoughts and comments on that.
Yeah, so I just decided to focus more on my act and my show and putting my energies there rather than products for to sell to magicians. And you spend all this time and energy and money and to get a product to market, and then 2 months later it's for a tenth of the price on a Chinese website. So
just not working. Nope. What about people seeing your act? In other words, you're very creative. You have something that's creative in your show that you're not going to market, I guess, to the public, but people could see it and they're going to think, hey, that's an idea that I can re-engineer that. What about that?
Yeah.
Or do you keep things out of your show or think, oh, this is a good idea, but I don't know if I really want to do it?
No, I don't know. I've had less people. I mean, I've had some people steal parts of my act, but not as much as I have with the marketed stuff. So I think it's just better to put my energy there.
Yeah. Now, we're at Abbott's, and you've been coming here forever. You're a Michigan kid, Michigan man. And when was your first one? You remember?
I think 1976 or 75, something like that.
And did you compete the first year, or did you kind of come and feel it out to see what it was like and then competed later?
Yeah, no, I didn't compete the first year. I just came to scope it out.
Yeah.
I didn't have an act, really, at that point.
And I was talking in a recent episode with Mike Caveney, and he was saying about how once you found out about the Long Beach Mystics, you got out there as quick as you could.
Oh, yeah. One-way ticket, fast as I could. And went straight to Long Beach, and I was so lucky that they... that's when my real school started, when I had to drink whatever water those guys were drinking.
How old were you?
Oh, gosh. I was 19, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, 19 and dying to learn how to have a good act. And those guys were really, really, great at... they didn't tell you what to do, but they made little suggestions and kind of guided you and let you discover it on your own. But always suggested that, try to be as original and as different as possible. And we had such amazing people come and lecture for us, people that you could never normally get, like, Marvin Roy and Copperfield and all these really high-level people would come in and just chit-chat with us for a couple of hours. It was awesome.
Now, I got a couple of questions regarding that, because whenever the early 80s or so, I'm guessing.
Yep.
That you, at the time, I mean, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the kind of interaction we have among other magicians around the world, let alone even across the United States. How did you first learn about it? Was it like through Genie magazine or reading about it, or somebody tell you about it? Or
how did I learn about the Mystics?
The Mystics, yeah.
Oh, I saw them at Abbott's.
Oh, when they came here. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
They came and performed and just knocked me out of the water. I mean, I was looking at guys that were 3 or 4 years older than me performing on the stage,
yeah.
And but they were 10 or 12 years ahead of me with their act. And I'm like, what is this? You know, how can they be so good so young? So yeah. I gotta go there.
And when you went out, did you find a job? Were you a waiter? I mean, what did you do to support yourself? And do you live in an apartment, I guess?
Oh, you know, I had a bunch of really awful jobs. Security guard and, you know, all sorts of, you know, janitor, you know, all sorts of...
Anything you could do to feed your habit.
Anything. Just to pay the rent.
Yeah.
And I know, and there were many times when it was like, okay, do I pay my car registration or do I go to the grocery store, you know?
Yeah.
So... I eventually got into doing some restaurant work, and then that built up into a couple of solid restaurants where I was, you know, working 7 nights a week and had a stable of other guys that could come and fill in and do time slots for me. And then the private party business grew from that. And, you know, so that's kind of how it went. It was tough, but a lot of fun.
It shows the passion that you had for that, and also people who have a passion that nothing's going to stop them. I mean, that's a direction of life that you knew at the time that's where you wanted to go. It's like people who want to dance on a Broadway play, you know, or they want to be in the movies. They'll be waiters. They're trying to answer all the casting calls and everything they can because this is my passion. This is my life. This is what I want to do. And you knew at an early age that's exactly what you want to do to be where you are now.
You know, Teller once said that he told me that he thinks that if you love something so much that you would do it for free, you will absolutely be a success at it. So,
like this podcast.
Well, you know, he said, you know, if I couldn't make a penny being a magician, I'd still be a magician. I love it that much.
Yeah.
And also, people ask me all the time, but what do you have to say to young magicians? And some people think it's funny to say, stay out of the business. But you can't tell them anything. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. So my advice to young magicians is study theater in university and double major in business. You know, because I had to learn the business stuff the hard way. So I would have. If I would have been smart, I would have done that.
Good advice. Well, anybody looking forward to seeing here, aside from old friends and this convention?
Joel Hodgson and Bizarro, and Cavney always puts together a good show, and it's going to be fun.
Yep, it's going to be great. Kevin, always good to see you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Kevin James, Scotty O. Well, finished lunch and different activities out at the Lakeside Cemetery. Came and registered and got my name badge and everything, and now over in the dealer's room. And of course, one of the main dealers is Abbott's Magic, and here is the proprietor right now, Greg Bordner. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Scott. Hi, how's it going?
Fantastic, doing very well. And you guys are keeping COVID safe here. Everybody's been checked out and everything, and so.
Well, I don't know about that. We're wearing masks. It's kind of a personal thing. Some people do, some people don't.
But no mandatory mask wearing necessarily.
No, not necessarily. I should be wearing one, but I like to breathe.
Yeah. And also talk where people can hear you and understand you.
Read my lips. I mean, I've even got hearing aids now, and it doesn't help if you're wearing a mask in some cases.
Well, there have been different conventions I've been going to where I was just at FISM. Well, I was first of all in Atlanta for the IBM, and there were 500 registrants there, and some of the people didn't show up, but they had people in reserve who wanted to come because it was the 100th celebration. But then when I went to FISM, they had 2,500 that were registered, and that was marked down, or I mean, people came, I think, like 800 less, so they had like, I don't know, 1,700 or so. What are you expecting here?
Well, Tim Wright couldn't make it because he has the virus. I don't know. Some people from Texas had registered, and they didn't come here.
Yeah.
They went from Quebec back to Texas.
Yeah.
It's just a whole everything that's up in the air. It just is.
What's your expected registration? I mean, typically you have about how many?
Well, 400 to 500. Mm-hmm. And you just never know. There's people that they rolled over from last year because they couldn't come for some reason. Then they forget about the registration.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't call us and tell us you're not coming, you lose it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just a nightmare in some ways. But a great time. Everybody's having so much fun. It's just really nice to see friends again. And
that's the thing.
Oh, yes. This is a friendly convention.
This was my first one last year coming out of the chute. I say actually out of COVID, I guess, whenever, as I recall, that Abbott's was the first physical convention that to get things started again.
Yes, it was. As far as I know, there was nothing in front of us as far as...
2 years.
Yeah. I mean, now we've had the SAM, the IBM FISM, Federation of Christian Magicians, and Vent Haven, and all these others. And everybody says they're a spreader, so eek.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I think. But anyhow, yeah. Enough of that. Last year we had you had tremendous people. Oh. What a lineup that they had. And this year it's like you're trying to rival that. It's like, how can we make up after last year's amazing talent lineup? And you got some of the same people coming back this year.
Well, Lance had such a great time. He did the big show last year. This year it's more of not really a performance, just an appearance. And then he'll lecture about magic and being a better person using magic. Yeah. Lance is such a nice man. And Matt King, he's great. They work so well together. You know, we've got some real talent here, but then Guy Hollingsworth couldn't make it.
Oh, that's true. He had problems getting in.
Passport, whatever, papers, and you got to show your papers.
It wasn't a COVID thing. It was a paper thing.
Well, like in Casablanca, you know, if you don't have your transit papers, they don't let you into the country or out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so things in a movie sometimes come around, don't they?
That is funny. That's true. But some other people, Michael Godot, and you've got... I'm trying to think who's on the close-up side. We got.
Oh, I forgot already.
So I have to look at the poster. Remember,
they were expensive. I know that part.
Okay.
Well, Guy Hollingsworth was going to be in close-up.
Yeah.
So the program is subject to change.
As it should be. Yeah.
Except we're among friends.
Yeah.
To
and
quote
no one
Bob
can,
Lund.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can appreciate that.
Yes.
You got to quote his tombstone. We're among friends.
Yes. It's a wonderful cemetery out there. It really is.
It is. Yes. And earlier we had the service that Lance had Burton had presided over for Gary Darwin and the unveiling of that headstone. It was very well done.
Oh, yes. Well, Lance, a true gentleman.
Yeah.
He really is. He likes to take care of people and pets, animals.
And a lover of magic. And I'll tell you just something that you know that he likes to pass on magic to the next generation. And so I was standing there with him, and he was talking with a couple of other people. And there was a young man there, probably it looked like about 8 or 9 years old. And he happened to glance down. And he said, "Is he like magic?" And they said, "Yes." And so he continued his conversation with whoever, and he was reaching into his pocket, and he handed him something special that was just from Lance. He didn't say anything. He just kind of handed it to him and smiled as if to say, "You know, I'm passing this on to you." He just is a very caring and giving guy, you know, just all the time, you know.
Yeah, and then his bus broke down.
Yeah. So close. Broke down on Blackstone Avenue or someplace.
Yeah. It was on his way to Blackstone Island where he stays. And, yes, it's a crazy little town we live in here.
Yeah, as you said, magic comes to Mayberry.
You know my lines. You know my material.
I used that in my pod letter this week.
Okay.
So I said, to quote Greg Bordner.
Well, I live in the suburbs. I live in semicolon. That's the cleanest one I can tell.
You kill me.
But I'll better stop.
I'm glad that Bizarro and so many other people and Nick DeFat is here, and you got Joel Hodgson. I'm anxious to see him. And I know that Joel and Nick was telling me last night about the two of them had been working with Tim for the last 2 or 3 months, and they were going to have some just dynamite material, and they had to quickly scramble since Tim couldn't make it.
Program subject to change without notice.
Yeah. So what a true professional does, you know. So it's still going to be wonderful.
Oh, and if I could ask for prayers for Rocky Clements. He's a builder of Abbott's material and brought back some great pieces. And he comes from Arkansas, and fell and broke his neck.
Neck?
Neck.
Oh, my God.
They helicoptered him to a hospital. And hopefully he's getting an MRI today, and he'll be able to join us by the end of the week. Otherwise, it'll be surgery. So that's
a commitment and passion right there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, just driving from Arkansas.
Yeah,
just driving. Was enough.
That's enough.
That was enough.
Yeah.
But then, wow. That's amazing.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Now, to put some rumors to rest, then also I keep hearing, okay, 2 more years and then we're out.
Well, it depends on how long I live.
Well, let's hope for another 50.
Well, there you go.
Your ticker's doing well still, right?
Yeah,
our prayers have been with you.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, that's, you know, I was in the hospital and people prayed for me all around the world and the Methodist Church here in Colon. So now I go there and can pray for them.
That's good.
So it does all go around.
Yeah, it really does. Well, you're looking good.
Oh, thank you. You don't look so bad.
Well, I think.
But you're not my type.
Yeah, I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy.
Okay.
As John Carney would say.
Okay, then. We're having too much fun now.
We are having fun. And then you guys should be here. Anyone who's listening to this, if you're like over in Chicago, you're a short drive away, you should come on over. I remember a few years ago I had done this. We were chatting, and I posted the first one, and Tom Dombrowski had texted me and said, "You guys are having too much fun. I'm coming today." He said, "I was listening to day one," and he said, "I've got to be there."
Yeah, he's going to try and spoil it for us.
Yeah. So we got some more great shows coming up, and I know that you kind of booked it and then kind of forgot about it because you got so many other things as far as like the evening shows.
Well, Mike Miller is my real producer.
Yeah, he's done a great job.
Yes, and Gay Blackstone is a great reference. So is Mike Caveney. Mm-hmm. You know, I need help. Mm-hmm. This is definitely a team effort, and I want to thank my wife,
Debbie. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this could not happen without her. Mm-hmm. Let me just stress that.
Yes.
Because. We need a lot of hard decisions made quickly, and she's really good at that. Well, let me think about that. Get me back to me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Doesn't get it done.
Yeah, she's over there handling registration right now while you're handling the booth.
Yes. And we still kept the store open, so there's a lot of little things I have yet to bring over here, or I can just send people back over there.
I think it's kind of cool also that you've got shows going on at Abbott's as well for like a $5 donation or I guess a show or whatever.
Well, actually, it just goes to the magician.
Okay. Yeah. But I know that John Chango is there today. I know Jeffrey Allen's coming, and they've got, I don't know who else. Is John Sterling going to do something? I don't know who else is going to be over there.
I believe he does that in his own show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's shows all around town.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, around town. And some rumors, and these aren't rumors, these are facts, as I understand Fab Magic and Rick Fisher is moving to...
Vicksburg.
Vicksburg, I couldn't remember the name of it.
Well, you never know what to believe there.
Okay, well, that's what I heard. Okay, that he was supposed to be moving out, but also Dwayne Laughlin, this Saturday is his last day, and moving to Branson.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. We'll be sad about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
He puts on a great show. He's a great guy.
Yeah, wonderful.
He really
fellow.
Is. Yes, and his wife Mary. Mm-hmm. they're a great team.
They've done a lot for Magic too.
And Colon. Mm-hmm. You know, they advertise this. They put on shows on a Tuesday night in Colon, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would do that?
Dwayne Laughlin.
Yeah. So it's. This really is the magic capital of the world, especially this week.
It really is, and in a way, one of the last weeks, because if those rumors are both true, I mean, we know for sure Dwayne's gone, but if Fab leaves, does that just leave you and Sterlini's at this point?
Apparently, that's what it looks like. It's program subject to change.
Exactly, again.
A recurring theme here.
That's right. And so it's like, hey, there are a couple of shops open for more magic shops to come in. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Who knows? Keep it the magic capital. Well, you got some people lining up the booth, so I'm going to let you go over here and collect some money.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks a lot. This is a great convention. As always, I always look forward to this, as do so many others.
Try to have fun.
That's what this is. The hallmark is fun.
Yes. Next year's dates start on August 2nd.
Thank you. August 2nd through the 5th.
Yes.
There we go.
You can do the math.
Okay. So the Magic Word Podcast, says my buddy Greg Porter, Scotty L. We are, just finished the Bizarro lecture here this afternoon, and we're here with a friend of the Magic Word, and it's more than just a friend of the Magic Word, longtime friend of mine, longtime friend of magicians all over, and people come to Abbott saying, I hope I get to see Steve Chesedey. And so I did. I've had people say, man, I want to see Steve. And so here he is right now, Steve Chesedey. Hey, man.
I'm here. I'm here in the flesh. Come and see me.
Well, I don't want to see that much flesh.
Oh, there you go. So, good point.
Yeah, I do want to see you. It's always good talking with you. So you've been working here with Mark Holstein and everybody, kind of the stage crew, for how many decades?
I think it's over 25 years now. Mm. Yeah. No, I just it's been a wonderful experience. I've worked with just about every top pro in the business, and
Gray Blackstone Jr. And
yes, for real. Yeah. I got to work with him, and just so many others. I mean, it's a different experience, especially being backstage. It's a whole different show.
Yeah.
So I miss a lot of stuff, but I'm part of the magic. You know, so it's. It's amazing. And, you know, Abbott's is just a special part of my life.
One of the things I think is important by having a person who's a stage crew like you is being a stage magician yourself. You want magic to be put in the best light, and so you want to make sure they have the best show, and you know what they need. So it's like, oh, I think this lighting needs to be here, or this table needs to be there,
and the importance of that. And I also anticipate if something's going to go wrong, and I'm there to catch you when you fall, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, things go wrong.
Sure, and you know what's supposed to happen.
Yes.
And if you're just a regular stage crew guy who's not a magician,
No, and I've seen it happen where an illusion is exposed by someone grabbing the prop the wrong way to remove it from stage, and it's just it's a sad mistake.
You don't pick up a floating table like it's just a piece of paper.
I saw somebody. Not too long ago, we were doing a show, and the stage crew wasn't a pro crew. And they, one of my friends performed the chair suspension, the old Abbott's chair suspension, and the magician took his final bow. He walked off stage. They went to clear the prop. One person grabbed one chair, and then the other person grabbed the other chair, but the board was still attached to the chair, and they walked off with it attached to the chair. So I was just... And my buddy Dan Sperry was backstage with us. We performed, and... I go, did you see what I just saw? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, you know. Yeah. So it was just a, you know. And then the show ran long and so on and so forth. And it was just, you know, a disaster. But, you know, that's all part of the game.
It is all part of it. Have a really good lineup here this year, similar as what we did last year with Lance Burton, Matt King, and those guys have returned and others.
Yeah, I think they enjoyed how much fun the experience was last year that they – insisted on coming again.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll have some new tricks for us, huh?
Yeah, I think it's going to be another great convention. And I was talking...
It was Matt King.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we have... we were just returning from Quebec, and I was talking with David Kay, who was saying that he is experiencing more work now than he was pre-COVID, because there are a lot of parents who are saying that... we want to give the best for our kids, and they've been in for 2 years. Now it's time we want to, you know, we'll pay. So are you finding, because I know you do a lot of family shows, do you find that things have picked up a lot?
Yeah. No, I've been turning away a lot of work. Everybody wants the same day, same time. I've also, people are waiting last second to, Friday. I got a call, I think two calls for Friday, this past week.
Yeah.
Just a day ahead of time, and I'm like, I'm already booked, you know. I try to turn away shows and I give it to friends or whatnot, but people are waiting for last minute things. It's also odd that they're paying in cash a lot too. Sunday I had three shows, everybody paid cash, and I'm like, oh, this is weird. But I mean, you know, I mean, I don't mind, of course, you know, cash is cash. But it's just odd because I just, you know, what are you doing with that kind of money sitting at home? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess like, what is that, Scrooge McDuck, I guess, put them in their pillows or something during COVID.
It's hundreds of dollars. Yeah. It's just like, what are you doing with all that money?
Kind of weird.
I'd like to I'll write you a check, you know, so I don't know.
So as far as coming here and booking shows like that, I assume that this is so important to you, you do turn away shows during this magic week.
Yes, it's hard. It's hard, but this is my one week that I do put aside. But you know what? I worked last night.
Yeah.
I had a show at 6:30 last night.
Oh, really? And you came over like after that?
Yes, it was National Night Out.
You're amazing.
Well, I'm a glutton for torture.
Well, that one time I remember seeing you at Magic.
I know. Well, we did the show here Saturday, and then we were on the show here at Abbott's in Colon, Michigan. We drove back, and then I made it to Magic Live the next day, which, you know, again, was insane. But, like, we're here. So last night I did the show at 6:30. It was in my area, so I mean that was fine.
Naperville,
yep. And then packed it up, picked up Carol, hit the road about 9 o'clock, got in about midnight. Then I had to be here for 9 in the morning, so I'm running on fumes. But we're here. we're here.
I think it's great. Also, we saw our buddy Michael Trix is here.
Yes, I haven't seen him yet, but that's my friend.
I saw him last night, and now the two of you worked together here at Abbas a few years ago.
A couple of years ago, it was the rock and roll night of magic, and it was just it was great to work with him on stage again. We performed together for my 50th birthday at Wizards Magic Theater in Florida. And he's just a fun guy. Yeah, totally different from me, rock and roll act, but people still kind of like, wait, he's the rock and roll guy. No, he's the rock and roll guy, you know. But
the Battle of the Rockers.
We're both the rock and roll guys, so that works out. He's taller than me, too, so.
Whenever I had posted that episode with him, I had, I wouldn't say a surprising number of comments, but I had a lot of downloads, but I did have a lot of people who, a lot of times people enjoy the podcast, but then they don't send me emails or texts. In this case, I had a half dozen things saying, that was amazing. Michael Trix, what a life he had. I mean, he really had a great episode.
It's a very interesting story. I didn't know all of it. Yeah. So, I mean, it was new to me. So.
Of course, going back and researching back and find that episode. And by the way, thanks for the compliment before we got on about the FISM.
Like I said, I listen to every episode. I mean, I do a lot of walking, about 4 or 5 miles a day when I'm home, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's just I have a young dog, a young German Shepherd that wears me out, or I try to wear him out, but to no avail, you know, that kind of thing. But, that's awesome.
Steve, it's great to see you, and I know a lot of times you miss some of these events because you're backstage all the time. And
Yeah. Well, it's all part of the game, but, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm part of the magic, part of the show, and I enjoy every moment of it.
Wouldn't be the same without you,
No, we're all.
I hear John Circa was over there, warming up the organ.
Richard
looks like.
Hughes has been part of the cast,
right.
The backstage crew, and it's a lot of hard work.
It is, and you guys do a great job. And should be complimented, the stage crew and all the lighting, all the tech guys. So thank you for everything you do.
You got it. Thank you, buddy, and keep up the good work. And I said, I enjoy listening. I listen to some of the episodes a couple of times. I got to listen to the Trix episode again.
Yeah, that was a good one. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Steve Chesaday, Scotty Young. We are about ready to start for the first evening's gala show, and unfortunately, Tim Wright's not going to be able to make it, but we're going to be having Joel Hodgson, along with Dick DeFott, who are going to be MCs, and I'm curious to see what they're going to be doing, but I know it's going to be absolutely hilarious. And one of the people I've got with me right now, who I just admire so much, and you guys will be seeing him soon enough on the lecture trail. I say soon enough. Won't be soon enough. It's going to be next spring. Boy, time will fly, though.
Yeah, really.
I got with me Chris Philpott. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Scott?
Fantastic. So good to see you here then as well. Do you come to this very often, or how often?
It's my first time.
First time. What's been your experience so far for the day?
Oh, it's cool. Yeah. You know, it's like it's old town, and it's quaint, and there's a lot of old, painted boxes of magic around.
Yeah. They welcome the magicians, don't they?
They really do.
So you have to go then to the Legion, the American Legion Hall afterwards. Have they told you about that?
No.
Oh, okay. So after this is over, you go to the American Legion, and that's where everybody hangs out afterwards until the wee hours of the morning.
Oh.
And they sell hamburgers and hot dogs. I mean, they got some stuff there in addition to beer and liquor and whatever else you want. But it's just a big congregation spot that is a must-see and must-do. So I'm telling you. And I say downtown. It's right next to Five Star Pizza and Curly's, kind of right on that same side of the street.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so you know where to go. So if you're looking for something to do,
it's hard to get lost in this town.
It is. It's easy to give directions when you say, next to this place or that, because there are only a few places that are here. But did you see the lectures today? Had the Bizarro and...
No. I saw him lecture last year. Oh, no, it wasn't last year. It was before the pandemic. But, I missed it this time.
And before that, I think Dwayne Laughlin, I missed that lecture then as well. But
I came in kind of late.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of getting started. This evening's show is great. But you can see we got this in the gymnasium then right now. And the dealers, you probably haven't had a chance to get down to the dealers, which are also in the same building here.
Quickly peaked. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a big dealer's room, but they got a few.
No. And it's a bit old-timey. A lot of...
Is that what appealed to you? Hey, Gay.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
What made you decide to come to this convention?
I've been reading about it since I was young. And
and you thought you were so close.
Yeah.
Because you were in L.A.
Close.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going. I got you know, always kind of wanted, read about it, you know, in old Genie magazines, sure. and thought, oh, I got to do it.
Yeah. Well, I probably need to talk to you later after you've had a couple of days to kind of digest this and get the whole experience.
I only got here about 6 hours ago.
Well, now tomorrow you don't want to miss the cemetery tour. You know about that, too.
I've heard about it. I'm going to do that for sure. Are you going to be there?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there.
Okay.
Today they had a service for Gary Darwin that Lance Burton had done. It was unveiling of his headstone. And last year they did the one for Walter Blaney. Who knows what it'll be next year? I know that Norm
Hopefully
Nielsen,
not us.
Well, that's true. Norm Nielsen and Johnny Thompson have yet to have their stones unveiled.
Okay.
So that may be in future years, you know. Right. But they always try it. The last 2 years, they started a tradition. Lance started a tradition with doing that. So.
Oh, nice.
Anyhow, it's a great place. The cemetery tour to go out and see all the magicians.
Yeah, definitely going to go to that one.
Yep. Yeah. What other magic conventions do you go to the cemetery, you know, as one of the scheduled activities?
There should be more. There should definitely be more.
That's right.
Don't like this.
Well, that's true. Well, listen, Chris, good seeing you.
Good to see you, Scott.
And we'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that's Chris Philpott, Scotty out.